Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is something burning? No, it's just time for the WIP Evening Show Hot Stove Check-In.
Yes, it is that time of night. The Hot Stove Check-In on the Evening Show, Joe Giglio with you. And we actually have some pretty important news to talk about. Matt Gell is going to join us here of The Athletic. Manny Machado is off the board. He is heading to San Diego on a $300 million contract, which means we're heading towards a stare down between the Phillies and Bryce Harper. Matt Gelb on with us right now. Matt, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm glad we have something to talk about, but I feel like people are a little upset back up there.
Yeah, well, I think people are starting to be a little worried now that maybe the game of poker is shifting away from the Phillies here. So Machado goes off the board, Matt. $300 million, and I'm reading in front of me here Matt Klentak's quote today that you were there for. The one thing that stood out to me, and this was kind of about Machado, but also now the Harper pursuit, is we cannot allow ourselves to be put in a position where we have to do something at all costs. Yet now, Matt, it feels like that's kind of what they have to do.
Well, you know, as I wrote just a little while ago, I'm what really interests me right now is just this idea of trying to remove emotion from all of this. And I know that in baseball, you know, in recent years, you know, it's been very data driven, and teams are trying to remove the subjective and remove emotion from these decisions. But I think when you're thinking about a decision of this magnitude, emotion comes into it. And they are going to be staring down Bryce Harper and Scott Boras now. And I think their big question is, you know, what other viable options are there for Bryce Harper? And you know, that's a question that they've been asking themselves for a while. But emotion is going to enter this. I mean, this is a decision that will really impact the fan base. And I think we've already seen that in the way people have reacted this offseason with this anticipation and then really with this exhaustion. But, you know, it all goes away if they're able to sign Bryce Harper. I feel like all this consternation and all this frustration goes away. And if they don't, I think it's going to leave a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. And look, you're not going to make baseball decisions based on fan reaction, but I think emotion has to enter some of these equations. And I think Scott Boras and Bryce Harper are hoping that enters to the equation. But, you know, it's a really fascinating time right now.
It is. And I think you're right that the fan base here will be very upset if Bryce Harper doesn't arrive now. And Matt, I'm fascinated by, as they go down the staring contest, this final staring contest with Harper and Boras now, is they could stick to their guns, talking about their valuation of the player. They could also say, like Matt said today, Andy McPhail has said before, there are other players, there are other free agent classes, but you've written about this. I remember reading something you wrote earlier this offseason. There really aren't players that hit free agency like Bryce Harper and like Manny Machado in terms of their age, their accolades so far, how much they've played in the big leagues. They could look to next year. They could look to Arenado. Maybe he'll hit free agency. Mookie Betts, maybe in a couple of years. Maybe the white whale of Mike Trout. But every one of them will be older, might not hit free agency. Like, there is that aspect of, if we pass this up, there's nothing really like this coming around again.
Yeah, what's interesting is that if Bryce Harper were to be a free agent again next offseason, he would still be the youngest player in the free agent class next year. I mean, it is unusual. I mean, he is 26. And I think, Joe, what makes it even more unusual right now is that, yeah, you could wait. You could try to pursue someone in next offseason and offseason after that. But there are other teams who probably would be pursuing those players then too. I mean, they're in a situation right now where, you know, the big market teams are sitting this out right now. I mean, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Dodgers, they're sitting this out. And whether that speaks to their finances, their ownership situation, or how they feel about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, you know, whatever. I mean, they are not involved in this. And I think that's what makes, it even more interesting is that in future off seasons, you might be contending for those players with these big market teams. Right now, you're not. I mean, it is a great opportunity for them. And it will require some money, though. I mean, Scott Boras has always said, has made it clear he wants to have a historic deal. And now the bar has been set at $300 million for Manny Machado. And you got to think that that's the starting point here now for this next round of negotiations. But then maybe not. I mean, maybe the Phillies try to call his bluff. It's going to be interesting.
It certainly is. Matt Gelb of The Athletic joining us here. Matt, I've had you on before. We've had the same conversation about, which player was really their preference. And I've thought for a while they probably didn't really deep down have one. They just wanted to get one of them, and maybe the deal would matter the most. But it did feel like for a long time, Matt, that Machado was their guy. They tried to trade for him last summer. We know McPhail. We know Klentak back in Baltimore. And they hosted him here first this offseason before they went out to Las Vegas. Do you think something changed here, or do you think it was more of they thought Machado was worth 250? If they could have got him for 250, they would have wanted him. But if they're going to pay 300, maybe they'd rather pay 300 for Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of looking at it. I think it's possible that they had prioritized Machado over Harper. Again, this is the one detail that I have never been able to figure out. I don't think anyone has really truly been able to figure it out, because there's only a few people who know, truly know what their preference was in terms of player. But I've all along thought that they have graded these guys in a similar manner. I mean, maybe they had one guy above the other. I don't know if it was that big of a difference. I think what they did think was that, if there was a significant difference in the asks from the player, that would weigh into it. And you're right. I mean, if they could have got, I think the guy they want is whoever comes or came on their terms. Because they had them graded very similarly. So, I'm surprised at the 300 number. I'm not saying that Manny Machado doesn't deserve that. I'm surprised that he ended up getting it, given the teams that were bidding on him. The Chicago White Sox haven't signed a free agent to more than, I think it was a $65 million deal in the history of the franchise. The Padres, had given out a lot of money to Eric Hosmer and Will Myers already, and really were a late entrant into this. So, I mean, kudos to Daniel Lozano and Manny Machado's camp for getting $300 million. I don't know that the Phillies were surprised in the end that it was 300. They had been talking to them, to Lozano's camp, and Matt Klentak even said today, I mean, we had an idea where this was going, but I think a few weeks ago, 300, that's probably a pie in the sky kind of thing.
Matt, do you think at some point here that the Phillies would walk away from this? People keep asking this tonight. Do you think at some point the Phillies could say, here's our final offer, it's now or never, and then we're out? Kind of the way the Nationals, and maybe they haven't, but the way it's been reported is they had a 10-year, $300 million offer to Bryce at the end of the season. He said no, he went to free agency, and then they kind of went and spent that money, so it might not be there anymore. Do you think the Phillies could approach this that way over the next couple of weeks? Like, hey, Scott, it's 10, blah, 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 325, take it or leave it.
I really don't. I mean, I think they're in the position here where, they have to let it play out. And I know as painful as that sounds, because it's been playing out for 4 months already, I don't know if they're in a position to say, here, take it or leave it. I think they've accomplished just about everything else they wanted to accomplish this offseason, maybe with the exception of upgrading the rotation with a left-hander. If they don't sign Bryce Harper, I suspect that they don't sign anyone else. I mean, maybe they look at Dallas Keuchel or Craig Kimbrel if those guys are still on the board. I mean, remember, they could be signed before Harper signs. I mean, we're getting down to it now. So I don't think they're in the take-it-or-leave-it mode. I think, they'll let this play out if they have to. And it might. I mean, remember, last offseason, everyone thought that Jake Arrieta would come off the board as soon as Yu Darvish signed. And it took about 3 weeks. After Darvish signed, for Arrieta to sign with the Phillies, J.D. Martinez signed with the Red Sox, another Scott Boras client, in late February last year after, a months-long staring contest between the two sides, and no other suitors emerged for Martinez. So, it could happen this week. I don't know that it will. I mean, I think it might take a little bit. I really do. The Phillies are in a position to let it play out, as is Boras, too. I mean, they should let this play out. And I hate to say that, because we would all like to see a resolution right now.
Matt, last week, Matt Klentak used the phrase, objectively excellent to describe the offseason the Phillies had, which I think it's been a good offseason, very good in a lot of respects. I thought it was funny that he was calling his own offseason objectively excellent because he can't probably be objective on it. But the other thing about it, Matt, was this. The way I look at what they did is they opened the window of contention. They kind of sped things up a little bit by trading away prospects for, especially Sixto Sanchez, for players that are ready to win now. But it doesn't make sense to me without one of these guys because they're still missing the biggest piece to what would look like a contender. Would you view their offseason differently if they don't land Bryce Harper now?
Yes, I would. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. And I think you can think two things here. I think you can think that they've had a really good offseason, which I think they have, and that it would be a disappointment if they didn't sign Bryce Harper. I mean, they have been building to this offseason for years. I mean, they cleared off the books those bad contracts. They, you know, went through these just years of horrendous baseball, 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017 to an extent. I mean, you know, with this offseason in mind and future offseasons, but I just think the way this opportunity has shaped up for them, you can't. They cashed in a lot of chips, like you said, Sixto Sanchez, for example, to get this team closer to contender, to be a contender in 2019. And the way the division has upgraded, I think without any other additions, you're looking at a projected third-place team probably. You know, and they've spent a lot of money this offseason and last offseason. Are you going to spend that money last offseason and this offseason to field a third-place team? I don't think that should be the objective. I mean, if they believe that they are cashing their chips in and going all in here, I think it has to end with Harper. I mean, every move has led up to this point, indicating that they're all in. And you know, you can't be all in, I don't think, without signing this guy right now. I mean, and that's the way it's shaped up. I mean, they had their choice of the two. They pass him the first guy, and now they have to get the second guy.
Last one for you here, Matt. As we move forward here, we're going to talk about the staring contest between the Phillies and Scott Boras. A lot of times, though, it becomes the owner and Scott Boras, whether it is Lerner down in Washington or Mike Ilitch when they gave Prince Fielder that crazy contract. Scott Boras has a way of getting to owners and getting them to give what he wants. Do you think that this could become a, hey, Matt, thanks for what you've done. You've negotiated well, but I'm going to finish this now. I'm just wondering kind of the strong united front this front office is, or if maybe John Middleton just takes over and says, I'm going to finish this thing with Scott Boras.
I mean, that's possible. I also think that John Middleton has been involved in this the entire time. I mean, Matt Klentak and his group, you know, are the primary negotiators here. But look, I mean, when you get to this level of contract negotiation and sort of this high profile, I mean, the owner is involved. I mean, it's as simple as that. And you know, John Middleton has been down here in Clearwater ever since spring training began. You know, he has been, you know, on the field. He's been keeping in contact with the people who are in charge. And you know, he has a very vested interest in this. And I think what's interesting is you're right. I mean, Scott Boras has appealed to owners' emotions before. And by all counts, John Middleton is a very passionate guy. He really wants to win. He loves baseball. And he is also a shrewd businessman. I mean, he is a smart guy. He didn't get into this position, you know, by accident. And I think it's a really interesting tandem here. If you're looking at Boras versus Middleton to see who will blink first, there are two very big egos involved here. And Middleton's involved. I mean, he is involved. And I think, it's his money. And in the end, it's going to be his call. And I think that all along, we've sort of known that. Even before he said, you know, what he said earlier this offseason, this was always going to be his call. And, he's going to have a lot of questions to answer if they don't end up with Bryce Harper.
He is, and you'll ask him, we'll ask him, and we'll be listening to the answer. Matt, I always appreciate you hopping on. We'll be reading, and we'll be watching out for the news. Matt Gelb of The Athletic. Thanks for hopping on, Matt.
Thank you, Joe.
It will be John Middleton's call. I mean, he reiterated it there. There's no doubt about it. And that's why I think at some point, look, I don't know if John Middleton's going to tell Matt Klentak to get out of the room, like let the adults finish this. But I have a feeling we could have that moment at the end of this where it's like, all right, Matt, I'm going to finish this thing with Scott Boras. All right, let's play some audio for you here. A lot has gone down the last couple days. As we know, Machado is now a member of the San Diego Padres. But let's kind of go through some of the insiders and what they are saying, what they are hearing around camps and about the Phillies. Let's start with Jim Bowden. Jim Bowden today, CBS Sports HQ, his latest, his thought on where this whole thing is now.
Do you think that the leverage has changed at all now with the fact that Machado has signed a $300 million deal?
I do. I mean, I think it's depending on how you look at it. I think one thing's for sure, Harper is going to get more than Machado. You know, I said that from the very beginning. I had predicted 10 years, 320 for Harper. I might be a little bit light there. It may end up being 330 when it's all said and done. But I think Machado signing at least puts a dollar value and approximation of where he should end up. But the one thing that the Phillies had up until this moment as they're trying to finish a deal here is they always had the leverage of, you know, we want Machado or Harper. We want one or the other. If you don't want to take our money, then guess what? We can always go do Machado. Well, that's now off the table. Now the pressure on the Phillies becomes, you know, you're either going to get Harper or you're not. And with the White Sox losing out on Machado, the question is, are they going to pivot? And before this deal is finalized with Philadelphia, is Chicago going to jump in and go 10-330 or 10-340 and all of a sudden change this thing at the 11th hour?
Well, it's a good question by Bowden there. And the White Sox have not been viewed as a team that would do that yet. The reports that come out tonight that they did throw a contract at Machado that if two option years were picked up at the end, would have been 350. So, like, they are willing to at least act like they're in that kind of market.
Yeah, but they didn't guarantee the 300.
They didn't guarantee it. But it was so the option on the Machado offer was only plate appearances. It wasn't like he had to hit 50 home runs. Like, he just had to show up, basically, and stay healthy. And he would have got 350. He wanted a 300 guarantee. So the White Sox are interesting now. Let's go to Buster Olney, ESPN. This was on SportsCenter. He was at Nationals camp, and they're the team that I now fear the most, because if they jump in, it could be the team that steals Harper back away from the Phillies. Here's Buster.
Buster, if it's not the Phillies getting Harper, who is it? Is it the Phillies and then everyone else at this point?
David, I'm in Nationals camp today. I have absolutely got no sense that they would jump back into the mix, and I've heard of no other teams that are aggressive. I will tell you that the White Sox have been stalking both Machado and Harper. If there's a surprise team, as of today, I would say it'd be the White Sox, but I think he's going to wind up with the Phillies.
So the White Sox again brought up as a team that could pump the offer up and get the Phillies to spend more. All right, let's hit Tim Kirchen. This was yesterday, the Baseball Tonight podcast. Tim Kirchen was at Phillies camp. So this is Monday morning, before Machado signed, and just the sense he's getting, Tim Kirchen, on Monday morning.
With the Phillies this morning, I certainly sensed that there's an anticipation here. I snooped around a little bit, and I'm not sure how much good that does me anymore, but I sensed that nothing's going to happen today. But I also sensed it would be a wise idea to have somebody around because it could happen the rest of this week.
Wise idea to have somebody around. So that, I mean, that got gave the sense that this could happen soon. Matt Gelb just was on with us and said, maybe not. It could take a little longer.
I don't know what they're waiting for.
Well, the longer,
I think it's going to happen soon.
The longer they wait, someone might cave.
Yeah, I just think someone. I think it's going to happen soon.
I wonder if they wait. Who is the team? Who is the party that caves? Like, let's say this extends.
I feel like it's Harper.
You think he just wants to play baseball?
I think Harper wants to sign now. I think the only reason this has not been signed yet is because of Scott Boras.
Unless this town screams loud enough for 2 weeks and he's not here, and John Middleton's like, "All right, whatever, Scott, just take 350 and leave me alone."
Yeah, but don't you think? I don't know. From everything I've been able to like listen to and gather, it feels like Harper wants to play now. Like, he doesn't want to miss spring training.
Well,
Bowden
said that on Saturday, that he's ready.
Yeah,
he's
ready to go. That's how everyone seems to be handling this.
On the other side of Harper Machado in this is our buddy Mike Trout. In case you may not have heard this, he's from Millville, New Jersey. It's around here.
From here.
He's from here. And yesterday, speaking at Angels camp, Mike Trout talked about who he is and who he associates with. Just here's listen to Mike.
I grew up in Philadelphia, around the area in Jersey, obviously. But I know I'm an Eagles fan. I know how we are, you know. And when they're going good, they love them. But you know, I think if they, you know, fans appreciate hustle all the time. You know, they like 100% effort. You know, even if you're struggling, I think if you go out there and show them that you're giving, you know, 100%, I think they see that and they respect that.
Mike Trout, who will be playing his ninth year with the Angels this year, almost slipped and said he's a Philly. I'm a Phillies fan.
I'm a Phillies fan. I know.
Mike, every time we have the conversation of will Mike Trout come home, it's stuff like that that gives just new life to it. Like, you better believe he's coming home.
I didn't realize how, like, thick his Philadelphia accent was.
I mean, he could call on a WIP.
he probably has.
It's Mike from Millville.
You guys
Bowls
don't know anything.
Wentz.
Yeah, he's like, listen, Wentz is my guy.
I guess he is a Wentz guy.
Yeah.
He hunts with him.
Yeah, they hunt together. Listen, that's why you can't get rid of Wentz.
I'm not getting rid of Wentz.
I know.
Not tonight.
Are you sure?
Not tonight.
No, if you get rid of Wentz, you're getting rid of Trout, too. Is that what you want?
3 first-round picks, and I'm getting Bryce Harper.
Oh, come on.
I'll worry about that
later.
No,
no. What would you rather have? 3 first-round picks or Mike Trout and Bryce Harper?
They're going to get Mike Trout anyway. He's going to deal.
Wow.
He can deal with Carson Wentz somewhere else. Anyway, 888-729-9494.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.